Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today we're going to be taking a look at what is the gospel, and in particular, the significance of the cross. But before we go there, I want to thank everyone for downloading all the resources from my website. I'm really blessed when I see people being able to download and use material that I've made available absolutely free. So if you're interested in some free resources, Christian resources, go to www.pastorvic.com or pastorvicsnuggets.com. Anyway, let's move on. Over the years, I've observed that many confuse the gospel with the Christian lifestyle. Now, while both the gospel and the Christian lifestyle are important, you have to understand that you have to accept the gospel before you can live a genuine Christian lifestyle. You see, it's the power of the gospel that produces the Christian lifestyle and not the other way around. The gospel is about what God has done through Jesus Christ, and he's done it all for us. Terms like reconciliation, atonement, redemption, sanctification are all a result of the gospel, and all of these things Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. On the other hand, the Christian lifestyle is more about how a Christian should think or behave, and even keys to successful living here on earth. The fruits or benefits of a sincere Christian lifestyle are many. However, it's the gospel that produces a change from the inside out. It's the gospel, when accepted by a believer, that produces the change in the inner man or the inner woman to become more and more like Jesus Christ himself. This is what it means to be born again, to have accepted the truth associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, many teach that it's how you behave that makes you a Christian. And in a religious sense, that may be true. But as Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." I want to emphasize, in the Holy Spirit. That means a person has been born again. "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So you see, the gospel message is about becoming born again, not just simply associating with Christians, not simply going to church, not simply reading the Bible, but having that transformation take place on the inside. Now, the gospel is best understood when we recognize that it's about the kingdom of God on heaven or in heaven and on earth. The cross is the most recognizable symbol of the gospel. Every believer should know that the significance of the cross is not in the cross itself, but the person who was crucified for our sakes on that cross. When we see the cross, we should see that it is a demonstration of God's great love for us. You know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, the cross is a sign or a symbol of God's great love. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." And then he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Listen, you can't learn how to love like the way God loves unless his Spirit is in you, and the way his Spirit enters into you is when you accept him and are born again. Verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Hallelujah. I mean, can you grasp it? What Jesus sees you as a friend. He goes on to say, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. What a powerful statement that Jesus is making. He's saying that you must be born again, that the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit lives in you, that there will be a transformation that takes place on the inside. And you will be able to love truly and sincerely as Jesus Christ loved you. Now, when we talk about the cross as a sign or a symbol, we know that any sign or symbol contains information that's directing you to somewhere or to someone. For example, a traffic stop sign is telling you to stop, look for oncoming traffic to keep you and others safe. In the same way, the cross is a sign that points to our Savior and King, who will keep you and others safe as well. Now, let me just take a moment to say what the cross is not. Listen, the cross is often used as an ornament or a piece of jewelry, but it should be helping a believer keep their eyes on Jesus. Now, we often see a cross in a Christian church, and it's there to remind us of Jesus' great sacrifice of love for each one of us. The cross is not a token or an amulet or a charm to ward off evil or used for good luck. The power of the cross is not in the symbol, but in the one who made the sacrifice for each and every one of us, and his name is Jesus. When we see the cross, we must learn to see our Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, remember that Jesus is not on the cross anymore, but he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. That's Romans 8:33. Jesus now lives in us through his Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus accomplished on the cross two important things. Two things that he was really born to do. He became a bridge reconciling humankind back to the Father. And that's called atonement. But he also defeated Satan by destroying his power over sin and death. There's a very powerful phrase in the Gospel of John when Jesus says, "It is finished." And the real importance of the cross for us is in those words. The words that Jesus spoke as he was dying on the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, hallelujah. You see, he accomplished what he came to do, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And then he said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled it, a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "Here it is, it is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, the Greek word or the phrase for "it is finished" is tetelestai. And it's in the what's known as the aorist perfect tense. That's a grammar kind of situation. Now, there is no English aorist perfect tense. And that's why it's hard to translate what it fully means. But the idea is that the phrase "it is finished" means that something happened on the cross and it took place. It was an event, but that event continues to take place into the future. So what Jesus purchased at the cross was not just a single event, but it continues to be present and goes on into the future. Now, what this means for us is that we were forgiven and we continue to be forgiven. We were delivered and we continue to be delivered. We were reconciled and we continue to be reconciled. We are saved and we continue to be saved. And that's why we say that sin and death were defeated by the cross of Calvary. Because, you see, we've truly been set free, and we are continually being set free. So let's look at the first question here I have for you. What is the atonement? Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines atonement as the reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. In a religious context, atonement means reparation or expiation for sin. Now, that's a technical difficulty. I mean, that's a technical definitions. But it's important to take a look at what other words are similar or like the word atonement. And some of those words are words like reparation or compensation, payment, repayment, redress, restitution, expiation, penance, and redemption. In other words, Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "In him," meaning Jesus, "you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having," here we go, "forgiven you all your trespasses, past, present, and future, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us." And that's speaking of the law. The Old Testament law does not apply to us anymore. And who has taken it out of the way, having nailed all of that to the cross. You see, the cross is where the transformation takes place. The cross is where the exchange takes place. God gave us his forgiveness as he took our sins from us. God through Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, but it's important to remember that he also rose again on the third day. Let's take a look at the second question. Now, how is Satan defeated by Jesus at the cross? Well, here we go. By exchanging forgiveness for sin and eternal life for death, Jesus disarmed Satan by removing his power of sin and death from his arsenal. There was spiritual warfare on the cross, and Jesus had and has the final victory over Satan by eliminating sin and death from the equation. Colossians 2:15, he says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Disarm principalities and power. Sin and death are no longer an issue in our relationship with God, for we've been forgiven and we have eternal life. Then we see in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus, remember, he sent out the 70 to minister to the people. And then when they returned, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions," meaning demonic forces, "and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you." Nevertheless, he says, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Hallelujah. We have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The curse of sin has been broken, and the fear of death has been removed. If we keep our eyes and our hearts on the cross and remember that it was Jesus who died for us. Again, let me repeat John 15:11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He demonstrated his love by dying for us on the cross. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you and I, whom he calls friends, because we are all born again. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see, nothing is withheld from us, because we are not servants, but we are friends to God. But always remember Romans 8:1, one of my favorite scriptures. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no guilt to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, it's not about the outward workings, but it's the heart issue, and the heart issue producing the outward work. And then he goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I think there's a verse in the book of Galatians, which was written by the Apostle Paul, which has always really struck me as very, very significant, and a motto or a mission that I really desire to pursue. And I hope that as I share this with you, that you will also agree with me. But Paul said in Galatians chapter 2:20, he says this, listen to these words. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what a powerful verse that is. And I just encourage you to just meditate on that. I've been crucified with it. It means that I've been born again. I have a new life. The old man or the old woman has died, and there's a new creation dwelling within me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ living in me through his Holy Spirit. And although I do have a life in the flesh, I live by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. And what do I live by faith in? I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in Jesus. Not in symbols, not in signs, but because I know him, that you and I, we have a relationship with him. And because we have that relationship, we know that God is for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Heaven is ours. Victory on earth is ours as well, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Let the cross be a reminder of Jesus Christ himself. Not some kind of superstition, not some kind of good luck charm. The cross is to remind us of the great love that God has for us. And so I just want to encourage you this day to walk by faith, to take Galatians 2:20 to heart, to live a life that is consecrated to him, and not just when we're in church, but in every aspect of life, in everyday life, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let me take a moment to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would just bless those that are listening or those that are watching. And Lord, that you would just allow the truth of your word to be made manifest in them. For we know that your desire is that we be free in you, and that the truth is what sets us free. And sometimes we're taught things, sometimes we believe things that are not true, and it causes us to wonder why we're struggling in certain areas. But Lord, let there be no doubt that our faith is not in a system, it's not in a denomination, it's not in an organization, it's not in humankind, but our faith is in you, Jesus Christ, and only you. And so, Lord, we just bless those again that are listening. And Lord, just cause healing to be made manifest in their lives. Lord, cause blind eyes to see. Cause deaf ears to be open. Lord, the lame to be straightened and to walk. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you accomplished on the cross of Calvary, which has an effect even today, because it was something that happened then, but continues to happen till this very day and will continue till you return again. God bless you. See you the next time.